Alright, we're in Psalm 12, and we're going to finish verse 6 today. I've been looking at verse 6 for at least three or four weeks. Last time we looked at how the furnace of earth in verse 6 was a picture of God taking his spirit and placing it within men, a mere vessels of earth, that out of them, out of his prophets, might come the tried silver of his words. God was making it clear that this new dispensation of his words by his prophets was indeed a ministry of the words of the Lord. It was a ministry through men, but the words were still being given by his spirit within them. Prior dispensations of God's word began with the appearing of that furnace. It was there when God made the covenant of promise with Abraham to try the word of God in Abraham's sight and prove its sincerity. And it was there when the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai to establish his covenant of the law with all Israel. And it proved before them, as they heard the voice of God out of the fire, that the words which Moses received really did come from God Almighty. And so, now the Lord is beginning a third dispensation of his words, this time not of promise or of the law, but of prophecy. He's going to again speak to his people out of that furnace. But this time, they aren't going to see it. It's going to be a furnace of earth, as he places his spirit within men, and his pure words, tried in that furnace, are spoken through them. So it says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Today we're going to look at that, what it means that seven times. Now the number seven in the Bible represents perfection or completion. It implies the totality of something or the culmination of something, that it's whole or that it is finished. It is perfected. And so when it says here that the words of the Lord are as silver purified seven times, it's saying that they are perfectly pure. Obviously, if you purify something seven times, it's going to be very pure, but what's implied here is that it's not just extreme purity, but even perfect purity. The words of the Lord are perfectly pure. There's no impurity in them. They're utterly uncontaminated by man. Now, this is an important thing for it to emphasize here, because God hasn't really been speaking to them, giving them this kind of revelation and doctrine in this way before. And so now that he's beginning a new dispensation of his words by his prophets, a dispensation administered through men, it's important to stress that the word of God is not going to be contaminated in any way through that. The word is still spoken is still going to be that same basic substance, pure as silver, perfectly pure. It's still going to be the words of God tried in the furnace of his spirit. And so the words of the Lord, though administered to the people through mere men, are not going to be contaminated by the words of men. They'll be perfectly pure from any of the vain and flattering words of the wicked oppressors of the people, perfectly pure from the words of the rebellious who are turning away from the Lord and his anointed. The words will not be the words of men, but the words of the Lord, spoken by his Spirit. And so, as we said last time, the words will proceed from a vessel of earth, from the bodies of men, but they will still be tried by the furnace, the Spirit of the Lord. When Abraham saw the Spirit of the Lord pass between those pieces, he described it as a smoking furnace, since the same Lord that made the covenant of promise with Abraham and made the covenant of the law with Israel when he appeared as a furnace on Mount Sinai, who is now administering his word of prophecy to them out of a furnace of earth. Now Abraham also described what he saw as a burning lamp. And it's interesting to note that in Revelation chapter 4, verse 5, it says that there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And so, the word of God is purified seven times because that furnace is composed of seven lamps of fire, the seven spirits of the Lord. We talk a lot about how God is three in one. Well, his spirit is seven in one. And so this furnace, this trial, has seven parts. Now, when the law was given, it involved many different things that had to be performed seven times. And so, this also harkens back to the law and reminds us of certain things. For example, when they offered a sin offering, they'd slay a bullock, and Leviticus 4 verse 5 says, "And the priest that is anointed shall take the bullock's blood and bring it to the tabernacle of the congregation, and the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and shall sprinkle the blood seven times before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary." And so atonement for sin, cleansing for sin, involved sprinkling the blood of an animal before the Lord seven times. And that signified that the sin of the person was entirely put away, and they were forgiven. And when the altar was first commissioned, in Leviticus chapter 8, verse 10, and Moses took the anointing oil, and anointed the tabernacle and all that was therein, and sanctified them, and he sprinkled thereof upon the altar seven times, and anointed the altar and all his vessels, both the laver and his foot, to sanctify them. And so when the altar was first cleansed and sanctified unto the Lord, it was anointed with oil seven times. And so God is making it clear here in Psalm 12 that this ministry of his word, just like the ministry of the law, is purified seven times. The word spoken by his prophets is not inferior to the word spoken by the angel of the Lord. When they speak, it's out of the anointing of his spirit, and the words are the Lord's seven times pure. The ministry of the law, carried out by the priests and Levites, required a seven times purification of the instruments of ministry at its beginning. And so, now that God is giving the Levites a new ministry of singing his words in the temple, the words that they will use will also be purified seven times, just as the things for ministering about the law were. And so, God is being careful to legitimize this new ministry. He's attempting to reassure any doubters that the words of David and of his other prophets that he's going to give are going to come out of the furnace of his spirit, just as the law did, and be indeed his words purified seven times. Because this was something that would be hard for some of them to swallow. When the law was given, they were told not to add to it or take anything from it. And so now that God is adding something to it, he has to be sure to show that it is legitimate, that it is him adding his words to the law and not man adding his own words. Think about the skepticism you'd get from the church today if you try to tell them that God was opening up a new dispensation of his words through you. People would think that you were trying to start a cult or something, and they'd probably be right. And so that's why God has meticulously woven in this part about the silver and the furnace and the seven times purification, because all of this builds on his prior dispensations of promise and of the law. He's making it abundantly clear that the words of his prophets are the words of his spirit, the words of the Lord. And not everybody always accepted that the prophets were a legitimate part of the canon. There were those who were stiff-necked and refused to hear. Someone recently was mentioning how the Sadducees denied the inspiration of all but the five books of Moses, and that's why Christ always answers them with scripture from Moses. And so you can see why those guys were so messed up in some of their doctrine. They didn't accept all of God's words. But God made it very clear here in the Psalms as he began to open up this dispensation through David that the words of the prophets was a special and vital ministry to purify the hearts of the people and preserve the godly seed. So he's woven in different key words from the giving of the law that clearly demonstrate the authority of these words and show that they are the words of the Lord himself. Seven times the instruments of the law had to be anointed with oil to cleanse and sanctify them, and in like manner the prophets, anointed with the Lord's Spirit, minister words that are purified seven times. And there are also other places in the law where something had to be performed seven times. For example, in Leviticus chapter 14, 14 is 2 times 7, by the way. I would mention also that the phrase seven times appears 35 times in Scripture. Now that's 5 times 7. And as we said, 7 is the number of perfection, and 5 is the number of divine appointment. So when we see something happen 7 times in Scripture, that's usually going to be by divine appointment. And so it is in Psalm 12. This ministry of the pure words is by divine appointment. It's God who is giving these words, not men, and so they are pure. Now Leviticus chapter 14, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed 2 birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. Now you remember back when we looked at this passage, as we went through Psalm 11, we said that the earthen vessel represented the earthly body of a man. And I only mention that because we're going through Psalm 12 now, and we see again how the furnace of earth represents the bodies of men. Verse 6, As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them, and the living bird, and in the blood of the bird that was killed over running water. And he shall sprinkle him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. So when a leper is cleansed, a priest is to perform this ceremony, and the leper is to be sprinkled 7 times. And this signifies that he's been perfectly cleansed from his leprosy. Well, by the way, that just happens to be verse 7 of Leviticus 14. So God placed here in the law, and this is just a sample, different things that had to be performed 7 times, and that signified complete cleansing, perfect purification. And so when a Jew who was familiar with that would read Psalm 12 and see the 7 times purification, that would be something familiar to him. He'd see that the word of God administered by the prophets was perfectly pure, just like the ministry of the law. But what exactly is it that the word of God is pure from? Well, it compared the words of the Lord to silver, and as we were looking at that, we found some verses that contrasted that silver with dross. For example, in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 23, "Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips, and layeth up deceit with him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are 7 abominations in his heart." So it called this man in his words a potsherd covered with silver dross, and it said that there were 7 abominations in his heart. So he said that the word of God is pure from these 7 abominations, pure from the dross. And this man is just the dross that's left over after the silver has been through those 7 purifications. And so the dross is the words of the wicked. Remember that what David was originally complaining about here in Psalm 12 was the wicked speech of the people. They were words of dross, abominable words. And the word of God is pure silver, free from any contamination with the words of wicked men, free from the 7 abominations. It described those 7 abominations in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. "These 6 things doth the Lord hate, yea, 7 are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren." So there are 7 abominations in the heart of the wicked and in their words. But the words of the Lord are like silver that has been purified 7 times, and all the dross of these 7 abominations removed. The words of the prophets are not the words of wicked men, not the dross, but the true silver, the words of the Lord himself, as tried in the furnace of his spirit. You know, we've talked about how God would try his people and purify them to remove the dross. And there were 2 different ways that that could happen. If the people would take heed to the words of the Lord, their hearts would be tried and purified by them. And instead of having the dross of those 7 abominations in their heart, they'd have the gold of faith. But if they refused to hear the words of the Lord and be tried by them, God would eventually try them instead in the furnace of affliction until the wicked either submitted to the trial by his word or were destroyed. Now, a salient passage in that regard is Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 1. "Ye shall make you no idols, or nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. Ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach unto vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. And I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid, and I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. And ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. For I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. And ye shall eat old store, and bring forth the old because of the new. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you, and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be their bondmen, and I have broken the bands of your yoke, and made you go upright." So God tells them that if they follow his commandments and eschew idols, they'll be blessed. He's brought them out of Egypt, out of the furnace of iron, out of bondage, to serve him, that he might be their God, and might bless them. And so if they'll serve him, he'll deliver them from all bondage and oppression and affliction of their enemies, and will bless them. Verse 14, "But if ye will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, and if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague, that shall consume the eyes, and cause sorrow of heart, and ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it." And I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. So if they refuse to serve him, then he'll put them in the furnace of affliction, and they'll be oppressed by their enemies. Verse 18. And if you will not hearken, if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron, and your earth as brass, and your strength shall be spent in vain. For your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. And if ye will walk, and if ye walk contrary unto me, and will not hearken unto me, I will bring 7 times more plagues upon you according to your sins. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children, and destroy your cattle, and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. And if ye will not be reformed by me by these things, but will walk contrary unto me, then will I also walk contrary unto you, and will punish you yet 7 times for your sins. And I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant, and when ye be gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you, and ye shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and ye shall eat and not be satisfied. And if ye will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, then I will walk contrary unto you also in fury, and I, even I, will chastise you 7 times for your sins. And ye shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall ye eat. And I will destroy your high places, and cut down your images, and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you. And I will make your cities waste, and bring your sanctuaries into desolation, and I will not smell the savour of your sweet odours. And I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths, as long as it lieth desolate, and ye be in your enemy's land. Even then shall the land rest, and enjoy her Sabbaths. As long as it lieth desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbaths when ye dwelt upon it. And upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies, and the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them, and they shall flee as fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when none pursueth. And they shall fall one upon another, as it were before a sword, when none pursueth, and ye shall have no power to stand before your enemies. And ye shall perish among the heathen, and your land, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. And they that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquity in your enemies' lands, and also in the iniquities of their fathers shall they pine away with them. So if they refuse to serve him, they'll end up once again serving their enemies in a strange land, just like in Egypt. God will gather them into the midst of the city, as into the midst of a furnace, and pour out his fury on them. And he'll punish them for their sins 7 times, and 7 times more, and 7 times more, and yet 7 times, and 7 times. Now, that's 5 times that he'll punish them 7 times. So he'll punish them a total of 35 times, which just happens to be the number of times that the phrase 7 times is used in Scripture. And just as we said that 5 is the number of divine appointment, each of these 5 sets of 7 punishments will come upon them by the appointment and command of God. But God gives them 4 opportunities to repent before the full outpouring of his wrath in the 5th set of punishments. So each time, after bringing 7 punishments against them, he's looking to see if they have repented, if the trial has caused them to return to him. So each of these 5 judgments is a trial in itself, each one composed of 7 parts. And so again, we see that a trial, a cleansing, involves 7 parts, 7 purifications. When they rebel against God, God's told them here that in the law that he's going to bring judgment and punishments upon them, and each of those trials to turn their rebellious hearts back to him will be composed of 7 parts. And so now that later in Psalms God is beginning a new ministry of his word to try the hearts, it's only fitting that it should be purified 7 times, because that word can purify their hearts and turn them back to God with all their heart without them having to go through a trial of 7 punishments. And so being tried by that one word encompasses a full trial of 7 parts, and so that if they are tried by the word, they'll not need to go through the trial of 7 punishments. And so they'll be delivered from having to go through the furnace of affliction if they'll instead be tried by his word. You know, when you think back on the history of Israel, especially from Samuel on, because you have much more detail there, you can see that there were many different times that God judged them. There were times that they went through the 1st set of 7 punishments, and then they saw their wickedness and returned to the Lord. There were times when they went through the 1st 2 or 3 sets of 7 punishments, and God sent them a prophet, and they took heed to the words of the prophet, and were tried by those words, and their hearts were turned back to God, and he delivered them. There were even times when God brought all the first four sets of seven punishments upon them, and they were gathered into their cities with famine and pestilence, and yet they took heed to the words of a prophet, and they were delivered for a time from the siege of the enemy. But then finally there came a time when they would no more hear the prophets that God had sent to them. And that's when God finally brought the full outpouring of his wrath upon them, and their enemies came and laid siege against them until their city was broken up, and they were carried away captives. So when they took heed to the words of the Lord, and were tried by them, and acknowledged their iniquity, they were delivered from being punished seven times more. But when they refused, they were punished seven times more and seven times more, until they were carried captive and destroyed. And remember that it was a seven times punishment of oppression, that trial in the furnace of affliction, which God so needed to avoid in Psalm 12, because it would lead to a destruction of the seed of promise. And so God gave them the trial of his word instead, that they might be purified by it, as it is purified seven times, rather than going through the seven times punishments. One final note on this. There was a seven times trial before God chose the anointed one who would open up this new dispensation of prophecy. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, Take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, Comest thou peaceably? And he said, Peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab, and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab, and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, The Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise and anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil, and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. And so the Lord tried the hearts of seven of Jesse's sons before he found the one that he would anoint as his king, and fill with his Spirit, and give to open the prophetic canon. And so that concludes verse 6. You know why this is verse 6. 6 is the number of a man. And this new dispensation of the words of the Lord is going to be administered through a furnace of earth, through men. And so this would be the 6th verse. And of course the next verse is verse 7. And so that would tell us about something that is complete and perfect and total and full, wouldn't it? And it says, Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Perfect preservation, complete and forever, to all generations without interruption. And so we'll look at that next time.
What did the number 5?
Divine appointment.
Have you ever gone through them and tried to figure out why?
Why? 7 is very obvious. Why? What it means. God rested the seventh day. His work was completed and finished. And so that symbolism is there for the rest of the thing. And that's why it's worked into the law in different ways. And it's interesting because I looked up every time 7 was used, which was like, it wasn't exactly 490 times, but I'll just say it was something like that. And I don't think it was anyway. If it was, I would have probably remembered. Or maybe it was more like 450, but of course, you know, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. You know, of course, 6 is the number of a man. And 6 days in which men ought to work, and the 7th is the Sabbath of the Lord, you know, because then the 7th he rested from all his work. Anyway, I never thought about you have the 6 days when men ought to work, and that's the number of a man, then 7 is, you know, when God rested, and, you know, that's the Lord's day, but It was when he finished his work, and so that's why it's the number of completion. The creation was finished and perfect, and so number of perfection.
Well, I was thinking more. Is there a reason the number? I guess, well, this number of days. I don't know.
Because is there a reason that particular number was other
chosen to? Or is it just? I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I guess, or is it just how it worked out?
Well, because that's how many days he chose to make.
Obviously, but I was thinking, like, I don't know. Like, 5 and
yeah, I've
two.
Wondered
I mean, like,
that.
How did he...
Well, 2 is the number... for the number of division, I said that makes a lot of sense, because you have 2 things that...
2 different sides.
Yeah, divide,
like,
yeah.
Otherwise it
divided.
One.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
so, that makes a lot of sense.
Right. So, in a sense, David, I guess, the words couldn't have already meant something. They mean something because God
numbers.
Gave them meaning, in a sense.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
What... And but to carry it out so thoroughly and throughout, I mean, but that's because he was the creator and did these things. So I mean, when you're doing something, you know what's going on. you're the master, and.